702, The World View
with Adam Gilchrist.
All right, let's check out what's happening on the rest of the planet. Adam Gilchrist, a happy Friday to you. Let's start with Russia. More aggression now near Ukraine. All right, don't seem to have the connection there with Adam Gilchrist. I'm not sure what that is about. Perhaps let's try and get him on a different line to try and connect through, but not connecting through to Adam. We're trying all sorts of technology, by the way, to try and get as clear a sound as we can. And sometimes things do go wrong. We'll take a quick break as I come. Ah, do we? There he is. There he is.
Hi, Bogali.
Hello, Adam.
Hi. Am I loud and clear?
Yeah, you are loud and clear, but put the phone thing that's ringing down. Ay, ay, ay.
That'll be you on the other line.
The more that is us on the other line. The more things change, the more they stay the same. All right, Adam, fantastic. Mm. You're sounding fantastic. Russian aggression in Ukraine?
Yes, the more things change, the more they stay the same here. With we've seen sporadic outbreaks of violence in eastern Ukraine. This is, again, a section where there are pro-Russian separatists and, of course, pro-Ukrainian nationalists. And every now and again, well, sometimes it's a few trucks with machine guns. Sometimes it's altogether more coordinated. And just on the other side of the border, the Russian troop buildup has continued. Now, Russia's perfectly entitled to move its own soldiers within its own borders, but it's the border that it's closest to that is the problem. And the Kremlin official Dmitry Kozak has talked about how, as he put it, Moscow could intervene to help Russian-speaking residents in Ukraine. So is that an invasion, effectively? He has also warned NATO off repeatedly. If NATO got involved, well, Ukraine is not actually technically a member of NATO, but has certainly been supported by NATO. So here we have a front line that is just so potentially explosive at the moment. Let's hope some hot phones are ringing in the Kremlin and in the White House and beyond.
Let's stick to the White House then, Adam. Joe Biden's gun control. He's aiming to curb gun violence in the U.S. even as more incidents are reported.
Yeah, there's a hint of Groundhog Day here, isn't there? Now, think of the first president you can remember in your life, maybe as a child. And did that president talk about gun control? He might well have done. And one by one, they've sort of tried, and even Barack Obama, who really had a go, seemed to fail almost completely. I think there was a tiny bit of legislation about bump stock guns, I think it was at one stage. But anyway, Joe Biden has, again, tackled the issue. He's talked about homemade guns. To 95% of the world, it seems extraordinary that you can buy a so-called ghost gun, a kit, where you buy, you put a few bits together at home, and you've got a gun. And, of course, it's unregistered, it's perfectly legal, it's untraceable, and on top of all the other guns that are in America, do they really need the ghost guns? Only 2 days ago, a family of five was killed in South Carolina. There were two mass shootings that killed 18 people in March. I mean, we didn't even report it because it's just so commonplace in Colorado and Georgia, those two. And Joe Biden is talking a tough game. He's talked about gun violence being an epidemic, an international embarrassment, and as the American president put it, for God's sake, it has to stop. How he stops it, even with executive orders, and Donald Trump found this with the executive orders, they don't always completely wash. And if you haven't got Congress on your side, oh boy.
And of course, Congress remains divided on that issue and many others. I mean, for all the documentaries, I remember Bowling for Columbine, I remember Barack Obama weeping, and yet these things continue in America. And lastly, Adam, locked out of his own embassy, it's a bad night for the Myanmar UK ambassador.
I'll say he's not having a good year, I suppose. But, I mean, the serious side of this is that this is a guy who's spoken out against the military coup, who's called for Aung San Suu Kyi to be released, who's talked about the risk of civil war back in his home country. And he's now talked about how, because he's fallen out with the coup leaders, that he fears for his life and doesn't feel he can go home. The other side of it is that Kyaw Swar Min, having been locked out of his own embassy, I'm assuming that they've got some big bolt on the inside or maybe a chain or something. That would seem ambassadorial, wouldn't it, to have a chain on the front door? But the military attaché is thought to have moved in, and so Kyaw Swar Min couldn't get back into his own embassy. Apparently spent the night in his car His embassy is in Mayfair, by the way, which is the most hotelled district practically in the world. But OK, he decided to spend the night in the car rather than splash out, because I suppose Mayfair hotels are a bit like that. But in his own words, it was a kind of coup in the middle of London, Myanmar reaching right into central London. But I just wonder what happens next. If he can't go home, does he seek some sort of asylum, or are we in another Tom Hanks, The Terminal situation? I wonder.
Sounds crazy. Well, he's not going to get garlands when he goes back to Myanmar, that's for sure. Adam Gilchrist, we'll leave it there for this Worldview.